Blog Talk Radio.
I'm using keep popping out.
What's that? I'm sorry.
I'm using these earplugs and they keep popping out. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Wait, we have Edward. Hold on one second.
Hello. Am I live?
Yeah. You're here.
This is Edward X. Young. Grindhouse movie actor, makeup effects artist, and now a director.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm calling you from Freehold, New Jersey, where I'm in a TGI Fridays. I'm participating in a karaoke contest tonight, although the judges understand that I needed to take a 45-minute break for this show. So
mm-hmm.
I'm here for the show, and I guess we're already in progress.
Yeah, yeah, I just got in. Hello, this is your host, John Link, occultist, anarchist, actor, researcher. That's me.
And who do we have producing our show tonight?
Director Cameron Scott is running the switchboard tonight.
Yes, I am. I am your eye in the sky tonight.
He's more than a director. He's a complete filmmaker. And as I was telling Cameron in our discussion earlier today, I mean, his real amazing talent is, I mean, he's a hell of a damn screenwriter.
Mm-hmm.
What a snappy sense of dialogue. I'm realizing nobody writes dialogue like you, of any of the indie guys I'm working for. I mean, that Postmortem America script is just something else.
Well, thank you, Ed. I appreciate that. I've felt my strong point was probably in my writing as opposed to my directing and whatnot, but got to excel somewhere. But I appreciate that.
I ever got a copy of the script.
What's that lovely sense of metaphor and all those colorful descriptions, those Peckinpah/Tarantino like bits that you just seem to pull out of the air. They're wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. And that's what I was going for. You were one of the few people who got that, I think.
I mean, Peckinpah had a flair for dialogue like that. And even though there might be other screenwriters, he would add these lines, these crazy-ass lines. Like, that was his invention in The Wild Bunch when Bill Hopkins gets shot, and he says, well, you can kiss my dead sister's black ass. You know, it was that's all his stuff. Or when Robert Ryan says, you know, we're up against men, damn it, and I wish to God I was with them. What do I got? A bunch of egg sucking, chicken stealing gutter scum with that 60 rounds between them. See, any of you try to run out of me, I'll leave you there to die. I mean, that's the kind of dialogue you write. You got terrific bits like that.
Right. It has those lines that, you know what I mean? His stuff always had those lines that were just crazy, off the wall. There's some lines in Bring Me the Head of Alfredo Garcia that are just like, you know, the line where Benny says, I can smell shit 100 miles away, well, sometimes closer. You know?
Yeah. I like it when Benny is taking what's her name? Isela Vega. Chris Christopherson is taking Isela Vega off their raper, and Warren Utz, her man, says, you know, you guys are definitely on my shit list.
We always already are, you know, mad enough at you, you know.
Anyhow, what's our topic for tonight?
2015, the year of horror. About the movies I'm in, I'm working on, and aren't out yet.
Well, let me make a quick promotion. I'll throw something in. Anybody who's listening, January 5th, which is Monday, if you have Netflix, you can see my newest project. It's actually a mini-series called Tsutsiko's Curse, Flesh of the Beast. Tsutsiko is a Japanese woman's name, T-S-U-K-I-K-O. Tsutsiko's Curse, Flesh of the Beast, made by Fever Dreams, produced and directed by Carl Morano and Greg Zavellis. And it's a six-part mini-series, sort of a psychic detective horror story. Sort of like a live-action version of a Japanese hentai tentacle porn cartoon, and I am the villain in episode 4, which is episode 4 is entitled Jersey Devil Girl, and I play a cult leader Anton Eisenfaust attempting to resurrect the spirit of Aleister Crowley, and it's my wildest costume ever. I look kind of like an old albino version of Jack Sparrow from the Pirates of the Caribbean movies. And the lovely Genovese Viva Rossi is there as my Scarlet Woman, as my main acolyte, and she's very scantily clad. And although she doesn't do it, there's lots of other female nudity, lots of sex and gore in this series. Mm. So if you're real grindhouse shit you will love. Tsutsiko's Curse, Flesh for the Beast, available on Netflix as of Monday. Check it out, especially episode 4.
And then
post something on their online site how much you love the fucking thing and you want more stuff like this and how that Edward X. Young is just the greatest fucking grindhouse actor you ever saw.
Mm-hmm. Well, obviously they know that. They cast you already.
So, Cameron, you got a new project, right?
Yeah, actually, what I'm working on is an anthology of sorts. It kind of started off as the Halloween-themed idea that I had a few years back, but it just seemed like everybody and their brother was doing a Halloween, you know, time-of-year-themed horror movie and doing an anthology. So I reworked it a little bit. It's mostly about the it's still an anthology piece, but it's more or less about the possession and whether or not possession is real. I don't want to give away too much. It's a group of people that are having hallucinations and seeing crazy shit happening all around them, and basically within the culmination of this crazy night, you know, you have to read it for yourself, which you will here very soon. It's you know, at the end you have to decipher whether or not what they're seeing is real or is it the hallucination. So
I know you're going to be shooting this like where in Michigan.
That's actually another picture that Tom Berdinsky is in charge of. That picture will be shot in Michigan, but that's kind of his piece. I'm just doing casting and some pre-production work, line producing work on it, and whatnot. So that's why I was pushing for you to be in the film and a few other, you know, I'm using it as an excuse to bring some postmortem alumni back around, hopefully. So, but that's more of a sci-fi big monster, crazy flick that it's kind of known for doing, like his giant rubber monster movie and the Italian zombie movie. But the piece I'm working on is kind of more of a gritty druggies and junkies and stuff. And, you know, like I said, there's this partying group of misfits that start hallucinating, or, well, maybe they're hallucinating, maybe they're not. Like I said, it's one of those type of pictures. You're kind of along on the trip with them.
And don't forget, we'll discuss it in private later, but, you know, if you put in a word for me, I'm interested in doing it, and certainly the Linkster is too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Linkster has provided he could see his way out to get into Michigan with me.
Well,
we'll see if we can make that happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
On the subject of, horror movies and whatnot, I mean, Ed, you're a fan of The Man with the X-Ray Eyes, aren't you?
Yes.
We were talking about that earlier, you know what I mean? And it is a good movie. I had to watch it. It's available on Netflix, of all things. It seems to bring up. It's amazing that you can see when you go and look.
It's actually a rather shocking film for its day. What, mid-60s? What, 64 or something? Or 66?
I'd have to look. I don't know. I think it was earlier in 66. 60, it was something like that. It was like 62, 63.
Actually, it was the 50s. You're right. It was the 50s.
Mm.
You know, Ray Milland is one of those actors that, you know, hitting the skids on alcoholism actually led him to create some pretty good movies, because he ended up doing all these horror films, these drive-in movies, and people viewed it as he was in his decline, but he made a lot of really good ones. He made X, The Man with the X-Ray Eyes, and The Thing with Two Heads with Rosie Grier,
mm-hmm.
and Frogs. These are all, like, legendary.
Frogs was one of those, silly, little monster movies, the late 70s, but it was still a great little, great film. Sam Elliott was in it.
I'm old enough to have remembered seeing Frogs in the theaters when it came out.
I did too. I saw it in the theaters. You know, Bill Tracy's daughter is in it. You know who he was?
Who?
Bill Tracy.
My phone is kind of bad. Spell the last name of the actor.
Oh, I forget how it's spelled, but William or Bill Tracy.
And who is he?
He was the cartoonist who did Major Hoople in the 40s, 50s.
Well,
I don't know if any of you remember that.
I remember Major Hoople. I didn't know the artist's name, but actually a very young Sam Elliott is in Frogs. I believe it's his first movie.
Right. Yeah, because a friend of mine bought that movie for me as a Christmas gift, a good friend of mine, several years ago, and I had seen it before. I never told him that I hadn't, but he said he wanted me to see it for the ridiculousness of Sam Elliott's all-denim outfit in that movie, denim pants, denim shirt, denim jacket. Everything was denim. He's like, anything you have to see it for, Sam Elliott sans the mustache in a denim outfit. And it is to be ridiculous.
Yeah. Sam Elliott, he's an utter 70s stereotype in this movie, yeah. That was before he was banging Catherine Ross and she made him sophisticated.
And let's just say Catherine Ross is the one that did that for him.
Catherine Ross all these years. He's really lucked out. Certainly one of the most beautiful actresses there ever was. And she's had other horror films, too. She was in The Stepford Wives, the original, the good one. As much as I love Nicole Kidman, her version sucked.
Well, her version did suck.
In the 80s or 90s, I believe, Ray Milland would come on talk shows and people would tell him about the pictures, and he was very bitter attitude, and he would say nobody he was in a bunch of movies that nobody should have made, and he said about the man with the X-ray eyes that there was only one good performance in it. What's his name? The insult comic, what was his name again?
Well, you know, it's a pity. I mean, he couldn't see his own talent. I mean, the thing is, what's ironic is that Ray Milland won the Oscar for Lost Weekend, did a lot of stuff before alcoholism gripped him and forced him to the B-movie circuit.
You mean he really became an alcoholic after making that picture?
Yeah, that's why he ended up in these drive-in movies. He was a real serious, hardcore alcoholic. But, I mean, the movies he's most remembered for today are the B-drive-in horror movies. That's what's so interesting. It's Yvette Vickers, who I met in 2007, told me ruefully the same thing. She said, yes, in my youth, I was in Broadway plays, and I was a star of two television series, and I was in all kinds of, like, major motion pictures, and I think she's even in Sunset Boulevard in a small scene, and she said that in 1959... Yeah, she was getting quite popular, and she was, she later, I think, was involved in a long relationship with Jim Hutton, although he never married her. But in 1959, she took the liberty of taking control of her own career, and in 1 year, she decided to do the Giant Leeches, Attack of the 50-Foot Woman, and pose for the July 1959 centerfold in Playboy, the same month and year I was born. And her agent went completely nuts and was screaming at her and said, don't you realize you're destroying your reputation, you're ruining your career. Never do another movie like that, and never appear in any nudie shots in any magazines or pinup posters again. You'll be lucky if you salvage your career at this point. And she said, I listened to the agent, now here I am, I'm like well into my 70s, and she said, the only thing I'm remembered for, and the reason why I'm invited to these conventions is because of those two monster movies I made, and because I was the centerfold in Playboy. She said, just the stuff I did in 1959 is the only thing they remember me for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I dare say, Ray Milland, same thing. Frogs. The thing with two heads.
I always remember him from was Terror in the Wax Museum. By no means the best of the Wax Museum films, but I mean, he shared the movie with Elsa Lanchester, which is, I mean, it was the best thing she'd been in probably since Bride of Frankenstein, and I think one of her last movies. So I got off a little off subject with Ray Milland, but just saying, I mean, they
shared quite a bit of screen time, and that was another great film.
You don't have a sound clip from that Roger Corman movie, do you?
No, I looked. I looked high and low for it. I'll have to make one myself.
Well, what's the line where what's his name? The Insult Comic says, "I want to see naked women," and once they were both on a talk show, and the reason why Ray Milland was so bitter and moody in his later years is because of, I heard it was because of his son was a junkie, and he couldn't do anything about it, and that was tearing him apart, what I heard.
Quite possible, but he was also a serious alcoholic, too. It ruined his reputation.
Hmm.
But what's the line? What's the final line in the movie, Cameron?
Oh, God. I'm trying to remember.
Oh,
probably
Link,
know it better than
I. Link knows it better. Link could do it.
Well, I once asked Roger Corman, I read somewhere that they were supposed to put a line right after he rips out his eyes and he screams, "But I still can't see!" And Corman told me they thought of that, but they never shot it.
Anyhow, what else is coming up, just to let you know, since we're discussing new horrors, I'm very, very excited about the movie that John Link and I are working on right now, Bigfoot Blood Trap, currently still in production. And in it, I play a mad cryptozoologist, Lawrence Corman, and in a wheelchair-bound cryptozoologist who is maimed and crippled by a Bigfoot. And I have my very glib assistant, Roton, who pushes me around the chair, played by John Link.
Yeah.
We also have Debbie D is in it, and John McCormick, the screenwriter of Two Guys, One Box, is in it. And Kerry Taylor, who was, did some wonderful nude scenes in Dead Collections, also known as Paranormal Captivity. We're having a lot of fun. Lots of naked women in it, and lots of gore, and lots of Bigfoot in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be done shooting by February.
Houston, but I like it.
Mm-hmm.
I had a big article. If you're in the New York area, you got to check out, in any rock and roll bar in New York, you got to find the free arts magazine. I'll mail one to you, Cameron. New York Waste, because I have an article in every issue now called Notes from the Grindhouse, where I tell about my exploits working in this business. And this current issue that's in the bar has a big article on Bigfoot Blood Trap.
And, you were, tell me about the magazine the last time we were talking on the phone. I remember that.
I will mail you the copies of the two issues I've done. But the most important thing about Bigfoot Blood Trap, as lurid as it is, with the Bigfoot rapes and murders and mutilation, it's an entirely true story. It really happened, based on actual events and the names of the people involved and the country of origin have been changed to protect the miserable survivors. And I would challenge anybody that doubts me. Can you prove it didn't happen?
You can't prove a negative.
So I'm very excited about that. And also, John Link and I are also working together on a movie for James Balsamo, who directed us in Catch of the Day, in which I also play him. In Catch of the Day, which is kind of like a tribute homage film to the horror of Party Beach, where I'm a mad scientist creating fish monsters out of prostitutes. John Link also plays my assistant Tony Groton. But currently we're making a new movie called Bite School, a vampire comedy in which I play the king of the vampires, and John Link is my Tony acolytes in that.
That's the last time I'm playing as that servant.
You make a great Tony.
I got to ask now, Ed, did you tell John about how he found out there's that bio picture being made about his life with a certain former A-list actor was going to be playing John Link?
I was going to allow you to tell that story. I was going to allow you to tell that story because you're the one to discuss it. You certainly deserve it. So why don't you explain? I haven't even told Jacques like this yet because I was waiting for you to tell.
Now, John, you haven't heard about this, right?
Oh, Don Film, he should be here. Don.
He is not popped up. Nobody else has popped up.
Well, I called him.
Does he still have the number? I'm not sure.
I asked him if he got the number, and I think he said, yeah.
Cameron's got a very interesting story to tell you, John. You should be interested.
Yeah, right. Tell me.
There's a movie that was just finished being filmed called The Blood Father. That's coming out in early 2016, starring Mel Gibson, former Mad Max Mel Gibson, as the title character, John Link. It's a story based on your life called The Blood Father. Okay,
and
maybe
Mel Gibson is playing me.
I
think John should sue.
Ron Howard producing it or something.
It's called The Blood Father?
The Blood Father, yes.
It's not a horror movie, is it?
No, the premise is an ex-con reuniting with his daughter to protect her from a gang of drug dealers. But no, the main character is is played by Mel Gibson. So you know, you might have a case.
You know what this means? It's very clear what we have to do.
What?
We have to hunt Mel Gibson.
The next movie John Link makes for you, Cameron, John Link's character has to be called Mel Gibson.
You know what? There we go. There is, I mean, in this one, he's the main character because there's several characters that are called Link's client, Link's henchman, Link's buddy. So, I mean, there you go. You know, we'll make the next character we'll have to call John Mad Mel.
I just think it would be great that you'd see on IMDb, you'd see under Mel Gibson as John Link, and you'd see under John Link's IMDb site for his latest movie, John Link as Mel Gibson.
You forgot to mention Hollywood Warrioress.
Yeah, well, you're playing.
And produced and co-written by Debbie Dutch.
Yes, Debbie D, who's in the Bigfoot Blood Trap with us, is also a co-star of ours in Debbie Dutch's movie. Debbie Dutch and Debbie D frequently work together and appear at conventions together. Two beautiful grindhouse horror actresses who appear at conventions as the Double D's. It's a great act, and they both are worthy of such titles too. But Debbie D, we're also all together in Hollywood Warrior is now available apparently, although I don't have a copy. But I play Gerard Deravieux, a Donald Trump character who might be Satan himself. But I forgot, John, what was your character's name? Mad Dog?
Yeah, Mad Dog, yeah. Mm-hmm.
John went to my toady named Mad Dog in that.
Mm.
Again, a toady.
No, actually, no, I'm not really a servant. I procure women, I think, for him.
And, but anyhow, John Link and I are, like I said, making this movie Fight School, and what else are we doing? Also, coming into stores soon, allegedly, I've been waiting years and years and years for it, because we shot it in 2009, but Thomas Churchill promises that the director's cut, the new version of Emerging Past, which will now be called the The Emerging Past, will soon be released. And a lot of my movies have comedy. So this is actually a very serious occult-based horror film, and I play an exorcist in that. And Steve Dash, who's the original Jason Voorhees from Friday the 13th Part 2, told me honestly, he's seen most of my movies. He said, I honestly got to tell you, he said, I think your performance in EP, The Emerging Past, is actually the best thing you've ever done. It's a real serious acting role. And he said, you know, I'm Jewish, but, you know, you play such a convincing priest, you made me want to convert.
I guess that's exactly. There you go.
So look for that allegedly in store. I mean, Churchill claims it's going to be released early 2015, and here we are. So we'll see.
I remember seeing the premiere of that with you and Susie when we were all in at the Famous Monsters convention, and they had the big premiere for it there.
That was the first version they released. You saw the world premiere of the Emerging Past, but he felt unhappy with what the editor did, and felt that the editor left out some very crucial scenes. I was aware we shot these scenes, and even John McCormick is in a few scenes, which never appeared in the movie. And he claims he put all this back in and restructured the editing. Where actually the whole movie reads differently. I'm eager to see what he did with this. But I know we had very high production values. Not only am I very proud of my role in it, but as you remember, we have Brooke McCarter from The Lost Boys in the movie. And Krista Grody, who's worked with Herschel Gordon Lewis on the Uh-Oh Show, and we have Stephen Jeffries from Fright Night is also in the movie. So there's quite an the very first Michael Myers is in it. Excuse me. That's from the Halloween series. I'm fighting off a nasty cold there, but I'm very excited.
I told you what to do about that.
Tony Moran, the very first Michael Myers from the original Halloween, is also in EP, The Emerging Past. And so with great excitement, I'm looking forward to that release. But it's good that you're working again, Cam, because you got to get something out there. But also, we've got to get the director's cut of Two Guys, One Box release soon.
Did you get we'll talk about that thumb drive. I was going to ask you if you've received that in the mail yet.
Which was that? What?
The thumb drive that I had talked about that had all the
When did you mail it? I haven't been to my PL box for about maybe a week and a half.
It was about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, right before Christmas. It's about a week before
I've got to go to my PO box. That's fully sitting there. I've been so busy. In the past 2 weeks, I've already had two gigs with the David Peel and the Lower East Side Band, and including one last night. We're rehearsing for a third gig, and, you know, I've been acting in two different movies. I haven't had a chance to hit my PO box for pretty close to 2 weeks. I will let you know tomorrow. I will let you know tomorrow when the post office is open. I'll go there. I'll write straight up.
And Cam, you mean that's all the unused footage from Two Guys in a Box?
Oh, it's everything. Everything was shot. All the raw footage.
I hope that's not the only copy you had of it.
I got copies of it on the hard drive. I got copies of it on DVD. It was just enough where it all fit on I had a 64 gig thumb drive, mm-hmm. and it had I think about 61 gigs worth of footage. So it was about what we should.
All Ed has to do is get that all of that put on a disc.
We're in an after party, so there's no way Don call in now. Don Feldman missed out on this one.
Forgot the call-in number.
Let me inquire, Cameron. Will you be able to do this frequently on Thursdays for the near future?
I mean, as far as I know, my schedule shouldn't change, and I should be having Thursdays off. So
I could have
the prep time to be able, you know, to have a couple of days, not to have to do it on the fly. So. If you like, I'm actually off tomorrow. We can discuss tomorrow what we can set up a show for next week.
Well, I'll tell you, potential guests, I have to call them. I could get us, just so the audience knows who we might be dealing with, I could get a wonderful interview with Lynn Tenney, who is in the David Peel and the Lower East Side Band with me. Lynn Tenney is the daughter-in-law of Del Tenney. And her own father died, was actually murdered when she was quite young. And but anyhow, her father-in-law was Del Tenney, her husband's father, who became like a father to her. And Del Tenney, of course, is the great 60s grindhouse drive-in filmmaker from Connecticut who gave us the horror of Party Beach, the first, you know, rock and roll horror monster musical, as well as The Curse of the Living Corpse, which is Roy Scheider's first movie, and also Zombie Island Massacre.
What was Roy Scheider's first movie?
The Curse of the Living Corpse, written and directed by Del Tenney, shot in Connecticut.
I did not know that. I gotta look that up.
I believe that had Candace Hillegoss in.
I think she's in that too. Yes, one of the few movies that Candace Hillegoss of Carnival of Souls is in. But also, Del Tenney made a movie called Zombie Island Massacre, which was retitled and tacked onto a famous double bill under a new title of I Eat Your Skin. But Del unfortunately died about 11 months ago. He died in February of 2014. I was hoping through Lynn I'd get to meet him. She said he was a very funny, entertaining guy. And she could amuse us with many colorful anecdotes about Del and the way he viewed his work. So I'd like to get her as a guest in the near future. And also like to get Brad Lurie, who is Michael Myers in Halloween Resurrection. And Brad Lurie is also the protagonist in Mr. Hush, Fighting Me, who plays the titular role. But Brad Lurie just texted me from Vancouver, British Columbia today, and he just became a godfather. Very excited about it. His son had a daughter. And I've been meaning to get him as a guest on our show, so we'll arrange for that, too.
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, my schedule should be pretty wide open, you know. Let's keep fingers crossed stay that way.
And as I told you already, but I'll mention it in the air, I mean, the last time I saw Linnea Quigley, she was very proud of and very excited by Postmortem America. I thought it was wonderful. And paid me a compliment. She told me I was better than her and I should have been in the movie more.
I have to agree with her. We should have put you in the movie more, but we did pretty good with the one day we had to shoot.
Hey, we shot a lot in that one weekend that Susie and I were out there and visiting you and also attending the famous Monsters of Filmland convention. That was a busy weekend.
Yeah, we essentially shot all your stuff in one day and one night of filming.
Yeah.
You know, all the voiceovers and the footage. I mean, to do that in one day, that was wicked. That was wicked fast.
And then you drove out to New York and, you know, got your car promptly towed and saw Mr. Hush, the New York premiere. And then we shot Two Guys in One Box and still shot an additional scene for Postmortem America. Under very difficult situations.
And we shot the music video, the Ghetto Beach video.
Yeah. We did the Ghetto Beach music video for the band Aloysius, Susie Palermo's band. We did that. You know, you got to get out to, which means you got to return to New York again soon.
Yeah,
I know. I'd love to. I'd love to be able to travel back out there and this time not get towed. That would be even better.
Yeah.
But we could all pitch in and stay together in a hotel room on the Jersey side. But I'll to New York for some of the kicks that exist there right now. Of course, if you drive
I got a question I want to ask you guys. Now, in the last year, and I know we're supposed to be moving forward and thinking about 2015, but how many pictures did you guys end up making together, just ones where you were together in 2014?
And my battery is running dead, too, but we only have 7-6 minutes left, so I don't think it'll be completely dead. Let's see. We're still working on Bite School and Bigfoot Blood Trap. That's two. What else did I do? Wait a minute. Grilling It Up with Barbie Q for John Riccio. I was also making Bigfoot Blood Trap. That's three. I did Escape from King's Park for Samuel Stone and Jennifer Valdez. That's available now. It's available. It was released. It's a great little movie. It's kind of like the Blair Witch Project meets Pulp Fiction. I really like that picture. I did the movie Faces, which will be having its New York premiere. A great ghost story, Faces by Tom Ryan, is actually having its New York premiere at the New York Horrorathon, which is Martin Luther King weekend in Half Hog, Long Island. No, not New York Horrorathon. That's something else. The New York Horror Show, in cooperation with the Macabre Fair, is having a film festival Martin Luther King weekend, and they're showing Faces there in Half Hog, Long Island. That's five. But the Horrorathon is in New Jersey. That's the weekend after next. It's Saturday. It's a 1-day film festival, Saturday, January 10th, where they're showing the zombie film The Soulless by Chris Ellenstein.
Horrorathon. They really calling it the Horrorathon.
So that's the show. That's the 1-day film festival in Lake Havasupai, New Jersey.
Oh.
And Chris Ellenstein is showing The Soulless there. John Link and I are both in that.
I wish I could be there.
A great zombie epic. It's the first. That's five.
Yeah.
What else did we do? I'm trying to think. Who else did I work for this year?
The Legend of Zeke. That was with.
That's right. The Legend of Zeke was actually done early in 2014. You're right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ryan Weber's film. But who else? That's six. I know I did a few more. My brain is getting fuzzy now.
Mm-hmm.
Everything kind of merges into one. Oh, yeah. Well, we did a lot of work on Trailer Heaven from Michael Chartier.
Yeah.
Although Trailer Heaven is still in production, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But what else? Hold it. Who else did I work for? I'm forgetting.
Me too.
I am remiss. Running out of time. We'll be off the air soon. We got 4 minutes left. Are you having any important screenings, Cameron, or events that are happening out in your neck of the woods in the Midwest?
Actually, I hate to say that I don't, but everything I've been doing right now has been finishing the script for the new feature that I'm working on. The anthology piece, in trying to line up the funding to get it done. To be honest, I haven't lined up a whole lot of screenings or conventions. I will be attending Cinema Wasteland here in about 3 months. This actually will be the 5-year anniversary of Patty and I meeting at this show. So with our little 5-year anniversary, we're going back to that. We have a couple of friends that are having screenings or whatnot. We will be having a table, but it's really all I got planned. I've been trying to focus. I felt like in the past I was getting spread too thin, trying to tackle 100 different things at once, so trying to do this one shoot. And you know me, I'm a one-man film crew pretty much, so it's been taking a lot of time just trying to get it. I mean, to be honest, just to get it together. Trying to remain focused.
Well, I'll tell you, I would strongly urge you, I know we all have our expenses and our other commitments, but I would strongly urge you to try to make it to the Chiller Theater Convention in Parsippany, New Jersey.
Yeah.
You know, it's been 11 years since I've been to Chiller.
John Lackey, John Zachary is still with us. You got to meet him.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I've met Mr. Zachary. I've met him a couple of times. He's a great guy.
Mm-hmm.
I have been to Chiller, but it was in... it was 2003, I believe. Might have been 2004.
Well, he used to travel. Now he only does Chiller because he's 96 years old. Hard to believe. And also, if you're on Facebook, on the Internet, I signed up on the online petition. There's a petition urging the Oscars, the Academy Awards, to recognize and honor the passage of Carla Lemley, who died at the age of 104. Who was Carl Lemley's sister. And Carla Lemley is in the first talkie horror film of all time, Dracula with Lugosi, and she actually has the first line in the movie. And she was still alive until just a few months ago. She just died like 2 months ago at the age of 100.
In the opening, not the opening scene, but the opening dialogue scene where they're in the buggy, in the cart, right?
She's in the brougham, and she has the first lines uttered are by her. She's like dressed kind of as a flapper. It's kind of a comedic moment. But you think of it, here was a woman who had the first uttered line in the first talkie horror movie. She was still alive at the age of 104, and she just passed on. You know, she has to be honored by the Academy.
Yeah.